We're not viral anymore, but we got stickers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go. We're not even trying to seize on this little viral sensation we had. Get at us if you want a sticker. Get at us. I posted it on the posted on all the socials. So if you want a sticker, we got limited supply. Slide up in them DMs. Let us know. We'll send one out to you somehow, some way. We'll get them to you.
Yeah. And the word on the street is that the guy serving beer at Forget the PR 50K this weekend may have some with him. So if you're going to be there, then please grab a sticker.
Grab a sticker, grab a beer, grab another beer. One sticker, though. Get some multiple beers.
Yeah, and I am not in studio this week, not in my normal studio. I'm down south in Virginia for multiple reasons. But it is – I just went for a run a little bit ago, and it's like – It's pretty humid. I mean, more humid than what I'm used to. So
yeah, dude, I'm telling you, I really do believe that there is a weird thing that I don't know if weird's really the word I'm looking for. I think there is a level of underappreciation. Maybe I think is maybe the word I'm looking for, where everyone's like, oh. When East Coasters come out to the West, oh, they get that elevation. Oh, wait till that elevation gets those East Coasters. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, the thing that's never really thought about is, like, one, we can kind of get elevation out here, right? Like, if you go hit the AT, if you go hit, you know, the Appalachian. Oh. Like, a couple weeks ago, you know, I went up Mount Mitchell. That's 6,600, 6,800 feet. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know West Coasters. I know Colorado. It's not, there's no 14er. I get it. But you do it enough times, it'll be a 14er. You know what the West Coast can't duplicate? That humidity, baby. It will jump up and get you. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt about it. It's a different beast. I mean, I spent most of my life in Ohio and Michigan, so I know all about humidity, but. It's even more of a challenge once you get headed south. So, all right, let's jump right into our show today. We're going to get into some race results here. We'll start with Lake Sonoma. Okay. So Lake Sonoma is one of those classic races that, you know, has been going on forever. The Lake Sonoma 50 miler used to be a golden ticket race, used to be a Western States qualifier before they did away with 50 mile qualifiers. But anyways, so it was this weekend, and I guess it was super muddy, wet. I was in Virginia, so I wasn't in the Bay Area, so I'm not really sure what weather they dealt with, but I'm guessing they had some rain, and Lake Sonoma can get really muddy. It's basically these rollers out at this lake and rolling trails. You can still get quite a bit of climbing out there, but those trails become just super muddy from my understanding. So I ran out there one time, but a lot of people say the race can be muddy. So it lived up to the mud this weekend.
Where's in relation to you? Where's that?
So that's it's north. It's north of San Francisco. So like, okay. I don't know if you went up by like Healdsburg. It's in
like wine country, duh.
Yeah. It's in wine country, but it's like if you're going up that 101, the highway. Mm-hmm. If you're going up 101. It's west of 101. So, but it is wine country out there. Yeah.
When you and your significant other tried to flex on me when I was out there, when you guys tried to flex on me and took me out to wine drinking.
Yeah.
Further north than that or no? Like how?
Yeah, maybe a little further north, but it's okay. It's a lot further west.
Mm.
Like
back toward the ocean.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yep, it's on that side. So
yeah, I can 100% see where that is like like, and I'm trying, because I'm just trying to like picture like the landscape. I can 100% see that thing getting like a woo, like a.
It is very, very hilly.
Yeah.
No, there's not too many like super long sustained climbs, but it adds up. But anyway, the winner of the men's race was Francesco Puppi. And I know we've said his name before. I believe he's from Italy. But he went wire to wire in 6 hours and 30 minutes. Fastest time on the course since 2019.
God. And muddy course.
Yeah, on a muddy course, yeah. And I guess the women's race was really close. Lindsay Allison won in 8 hours and 44 minutes. And she beat the second place, Anna Fisher, by 33 seconds. So.
Oh, man. That would be fun to watch, right?
Yep. Like, yeah.
Like, that is like, remember a couple episodes ago, we talked about the race technology where like the cameras are going to kick on in real time when people come by. Like that, they had like the,
that's
the
right, cellular. Yeah.
That race right there, like those two women battling it out over 50 miles would have been absolutely dope, yeah, to have those cameras kicking on and like, yeah, just watching them. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know, my other thought is like, are they like, I mean, these ladies aren't elites. They're not getting paid, right? But I mean, they're highly competitive. I would also just love to hear the like the chirping and the chitter chatter, or like just the pleasantries that get exchanged as you're running at that pace for 50 miles. Also, you know what I mean? Like, man, that is a perfect reason right there that all races should have that technology.
Yeah, and you know, like not only could you see their positioning throughout the race, but that they can set up the cameras at all the checkpoints, all, yeah, the aid stations. So you can see the live stream for all the aid stations. And yeah, that would be something.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So that was Lake Sonoma 50. And then also a race that it is an older race, but it went away for a little while. And Dylan Bowman's Free Trail and that race company that he's associated with, Daybreak Racing, I believe it is. They resurrected it, and that's Gorge Waterfalls up in Oregon.
Mm.
And last year they put it on again. They resurrected it last year. This race has gotten huge. Like everything that Free Trail and Daybreak Racing is doing is just blowing up. Like they just did the big Alta in the Bay Area. First year, it was huge. So Gorge Waterfalls 100K, it was huge again this year. And so conditions were a lot better than last year, I guess. I guess they had sunshine up there at the Columbia River Gorge. And in the 100K race, Lottie Brinks won for the ladies. She came back from 20 minutes back to claim victory in 9 hours and 53 minutes. And then in the men's race, Adam Loomis took home the win in 8 hours and 44 minutes. And then also Sunday, they had a 50K, and Chris Myers won the 50K in 3 hours and 51 minutes, second fastest time on the updated post-fire course. Chris Myers got, I think, didn't he get second or third at Black Canyon? He's that young dude. I think he runs for Solomon.
The name rings a bell. I feel like it definitely kind of, I can't remember though.
It was second or third he, yeah, got at Black Canyon. He's definitely an up and coming runner. Very solid. I'm actually curious. So I'm looking it up right now. Oh, that's the wrong Chris Myers. Maybe
wrong it's, Chris Myers.
Maybe it's Chris Meyer, perhaps. Well, anyway,
There you go.
He got second or third at Black Canyon, and he just destroyed this race. And then on the woman's side, guess who got first place?
Another one.
Sarah Beal.
No, really?
That's right. Yeah.
Central Ohio. Let's go.
4 hours and 26 minutes. Third fastest time on the updated course.
So. I need to. Some people are just like, and this exists for ultras too, right? Like, some people are just like, I feel like this is a deja vu conversation. Some people are just built to run certain ultras, and like that's their limit. That's their race, right? But like, she is just crushing 50 milers. Like, one JFK, you know what I mean? Like,
she's good at that 50K, 50 mile distance for sure. All right. So let's move on. And, let's talk about Desert Rats. So Desert Rats, let me share this tab. Desert Rats is a race, a running festival in Colorado. And UTMB bought out Desert Rats. I think UTMB is just trying to expand their reach in the U.S. I mean, we kind of know that already.
Yeah.
But they saw an opportunity with this growing popularity of this Desert Rats race. So they have quite a few different distances at Desert Rats. And the 100K is two laps on a flat course, totaled 6,600 feet of elevation gain. In the 100K, the women's winner was Alina Orman in 11 hours and 33 minutes. And then in the men's race, Rajpal Panu, who we've definitely talked about a few times on the show, got first in 9 hours and 19 minutes. And in the 50K, Helen Mino Faulkner won for the women in 4 hours and 14 minutes. And men's winner was Justin Grunewald, who is pretty famous personality in ultra running. So, and he won in 3 hours and 40 minutes. Second place male was 3 hours and 42 minutes. So it was quite a battle. And third was 3 hours and 57 minutes. So that was pretty interesting. Oh, it should be noted too, speaking of Black Canyon, that at Gorge Waterfalls in the 30K, Rachel Drake won the race. I know it's not ultra distance, but Rachel Drake won Black Canyon for the women's this year. So she's like on a tear. And Matt Daniels, who's just an insanely good ultra runner, he won the 30K for the men in 1 hour and 55 minutes. So, so not an ultra distance, but some ultra runners won, you know, for the men and the women. All right. What else we got here for results? I think that's it for the results. There wasn't too many huge races this year. I know, I think Zion. Oh, let's talk about Whiskey Basin real quick. So Whiskey Basin in Prescott, Arizona. I believe that is an Air Viper race. And Nick Curry won. He won the 91K. In 7 hours and 41 minutes.
Good God. And
yeah, he's fast. You know, that's Jam Jam's brother. He's one of those runners that can run well on mountain courses, and he can also run well on flat stuff. But he does a lot better on the flat stuff. But he still goes out and competes at Hard Rock. And, you know, he's just good runner. And Emily Kratz won for the women in 10 hours and 54 minutes. Zion Ultras were this weekend in Utah. And I don't think the Zion 100, it doesn't actually run through Zion Park. I believe it runs up on like a plateau or something where they can look down into the park.
Down in.
Yeah.
But, is Zion 100 the one that Pete did? Pete did that, didn't he?
Was it Bryce or Zion? It might have been Zion. I think it was Zion.
It was Zion.
Pretty sure. But,
yeah, that one, I mean, like talking to him about that one, like that one's that, like those races have their own unique, you know, like it's like weirdly slick, you know, on the rocks and the sand and all that kind of stuff. And like, yeah. So it's a pretty interesting race.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Definitely has its own unique challenges in the Southwest there. Okay. So, Zumbro 100 was this weekend. I didn't say the winners for Zion. Nicole Thomas won for the women, 22 hours, 29 minutes. Jonathan Kuplak in 18 hours and 42 minutes. I guess it was a small field. So, and Zumbro 100, I always read about this race in, or see the ad for it in Ultra Running Magazine. So, just sticks out the name. It's a 17-mile loop. The 100-mile winners were Andy Bennett and Michael Asmus. 30 hours and 33 minutes for Andy, and so she won for the ladies, and Michael Asmus in 22 hours and 12 minutes for the men. Okay, and there was a race, a North Face race in China this year that took place over the weekend. So I will say it's cool to see events going on in China again. I know it's like pretty crappy that one race company, you know, just wasn't prepared, and then all of a sudden they shut down races for everybody. So, all right, let's get into forget the PR preview. So our favorite, or my favorite race, and I'm pretty sure Johnny probably feels the same way.
It's really high. Yeah. I can't wrap my head around what would, you know, like it is definitely in the team photo if it's not the one.
Yeah. Forget the PR. It's in Mohican State Forest in central-ish Ohio. It's really truly the Mohican is the trail running gem of Ohio, as many Ohio and surrounding states runners know. This race sells out very quickly every year. It's an April 50K. It was my first 50K. And I had volunteered for a couple of years prior to that. And then I volunteered and ran the 50K there for 8 years total. And I think I volunteered for nine years, but ran the race 8 years and volunteered. So, because they let the volunteers run and get credit for the race. So it's just a cool atmosphere, you know, I want to lobby for Andy Jones Wilkins to write about Forget the PR for one of his low key races.
It is so far on my wish list to get him to write about this. Like it is, I don't know what kind of like algorithm or good vibes we got to get out there, but that would be super cool.
Yeah.
In a weird kind of way. This race, and also knowing Chad and Mark, they're like, oh, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. But it would be absolutely awesome to have him write about it.
Yeah. The community around this race is so strong. It's the only race I really know of, maybe besides like Western States, where there's a waiting list for volunteers. I mean, you know,
it's just, it's wild.
And they always have good food, and they always, you know, they have kegs, and a lot of people will camp in the campground. They'll stay in the cabins or in campers or tents, everybody just kind of hangs out. And yeah, it's just a great, you know, great atmosphere. And like one of the coolest things is that they give all money to charity and all the proceeds to charity. And I was just reading something over the years. They've given like $46,000 or $48,000 to charities. And I believe they currently, you know, since Chad and Mark are friends, they run the Playing Possum race series. They like to donate to the Special Olympics, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, a great cause. So I wish I could be there this year, but I can't. But Johnny will be there manning the beer.
I will be there just to give everyone who will be there, if there's any possums that are possibly listening to this on their drive up to the race, or maybe, hey, you know, this will be your, not, you know, your coming to possumism here, and you're listening to this driving to the race Saturday morning or Friday night or whenever this gets into your earbuds, just so you know, be rest assured, you will have not one, but two full kegs of Restoration Brewworks beer waiting for you at the finish line. So, so again,
nice.
It'll be a great time. We should have great weather, I think. I think the weather's looking pretty nice for us. Let me do a double check here because I think it's supposed to be really – so, yeah, we're supposed to have, like, partly sunny with, like, a high of 54.
Oh, my God. That is ideal.
And like, okay, so you know Mo, right? Like, we know Mo. It is going to rain. It just rained today. Right. Just got done raining pretty heavy, actually. It's going to rain again really, really early Friday morning, like super early Friday morning. It's going to rain. So, you know, that course is just going to be nice and tacky. It's not going to be like a deep mud. It's going to be a nice tacky mud that you could just like,
yeah,
absolutely fly on it.
Nice.
It is going to be so much fun. I don't know. It might be a little too wet. It might be a little too muddy to get like some course records, because like we're going to talk about here in a second, we got some fairly solid course records for that course. So yeah, it should be a great time.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. The crazy thing about, well, the course record is looks like Chad Trumbo set it in 2017, 4 hours and 5 minutes. And the race has, I think, around 5,000 feet of climbing for the 50K. It's a two loop race. But the crazy thing is, well, and Chad Trumbo has the first and second fastest time. The second fastest time was 2016, 4 hours and 7 minutes. But then the third fastest time is Sean Pope from 2010. And in 2010, the race was much different. The race went on these bridle trails in the southern end. I think before, one time I mentioned it was the northern end, but it's actually the southern end of Mohegan State Forest. And there is multiple river crossings on that,
yeah,
on that other loop that it used to be. There used to be no repeats, except for towards the end. There was like a mile or two that was repeated, but other than that, it was no repeats. And there was those river crossings, and they crossed the Mohican River back then.
Like legit used to cross it.
Yeah.
Rob Powell, the original founder of it, yes, like his whole thing was like, hey, if the river's not going to take you away, we're crossing it.
Yeah. I've crossed it in thigh deep yeah, water. Yeah. It's, and that water, let me tell you, it is cold, like all winter long, you know, just stuff melting and like just cold. You get out on the other side, your legs feel like blocks of ice. I mean, just, you know, but it added to the fun of the race. But anyway, and Jay Smithberger has the fourth fastest time, friend of the pod. 4 hours and 12 minutes. In 2010, the same year, Sean Pope set the third fastest time. So those two were duking it out. Pretty cool to see. So anyway, yeah, if you're in, you know, the Ohio area, or even if you're not, definitely look into running this race in the future. You will not be disappointed. It's a fun time. Go to Trails End Pizza afterwards. You know, just pretty cool atmosphere.
Okay, so I'm gonna put a name out there, and I'm waiting. I'm gonna call him a kid. Like, by God knows, by no means is he a kid, but there is a guy that I don't know if he quite podiums every year, but I think he's always a top five, for sure a top 10. I think it's he's usually up in it, upper pack. Andrew Zeminski.
Yeah.
Just put that out, put that little vibe out there. One of these years, that dude is going to just rock that course and just crush it. I enjoy watching him run. I think that some year we might get to see something else. So, interesting enough, we were talking about Chad and him and his records at it. Did you know his wife, Chad Trumba's wife, is running, I want to say last year she did the 25K. I don't know if she did the 50K, but Trumba's wife is now running the race also.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's fast as shit, too.
Oh, really?
Like for real hammers it. She is fast. So anyways, that Trumba family just churning out monsters on the trail.
And shout out to all our friends that are listening, that are running, have a good run, have fun. And I'm glad you brought up Rob Powell. He is the mastermind behind Forget the PR.
He is the man.
Shout out to Rob. If you're listening by chance, he was one of my, mentors in the early days, and him and Mark Carroll, and, yeah, so good stuff. Have fun out there, Johnny. I know it's going to be a blast. I need to get out there for my 9th and 10th finishes at some point. So
yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I have the 5. I have the gold buckle. So that's where I'm at in it. Good God, it's just an absolute phenomenal weekend. It just ends up being a fun. If you have degenerates some of our running crew, you show up on the Friday night, maybe get after just a smidge, get after just a little bit. And then when you wake up Saturday morning and run, that hangover, it just dulls the pain a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes that first 20K just kind of slide right by,
Yeah. That's where I met all you guys, really.
Yeah.
The PR. And I remember when I met Chaz, I knew Ron because I'd known Ron through volunteering there for years. Him and I ran our first 50K at Forget the PR the same year. So we've known each other for quite a while. And Ron was camping right next to where I would usually camp. And all his firefighter buddies that were running were camping next to me, and there's this drunk guy never run a 25K in his life. He was signed up for the 25K, and Ron's like, "Yeah, our friend couldn't make it, so Chaz is
stepping in.
He's running the 50K for under so and so's name," and I was heading out for a night run, a night training run the night before, because I had to get some miles. But I'm like, "Nice to meet you. Make sure you put some Band-Aids on your nipples."
That's all you need. I love it.
Good stuff. All right, let's move into a little bit of news here. We got LazCon still going on. Might as well maybe look into a little update. So Jared Beasley put this post out there. I thought it was kind of funny, saying breakfast for Laz is a Dr. Pepper plus a Bang energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And lunch each day, per his request, a chocolate milkshake. So that's solid. I can respect that. Let's see. Let's check on the LazCon, hashtag LazCon.
So the last update that we have shared with LazCon, actually just shared it earlier this afternoon, this evening.
Yeah.
He had made 297 miles.
Okay.
Is where we're at. 297. And Jared was having to leave him. Jared actually has to go back to his real world job. And was leaving him. So, yeah, that's the last thing that we really have. Now, I'm sure there's been some, but I think that was just from, like, earlier today, actually. So, I don't know how much more has been done. But, yeah, day 16. Day 16 was 297 miles. And that was 23 hours ago, so.
Yeah, I think he was in Virginia. I don't know if he's made it through Virginia or not yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's for sure. I mean, he's 297 miles in. So I think there was a couple days ago he had made it to the Blue Ridge. He had made it. So he's pretty deep into it. He's doing solid. But it's like, you know what? I had shared this in a different post. What I really enjoy about, you know, some of the stuff that's going on is just how real it is, right? Like there was a comment that was made of like, oh man, like really feeling rough today, but you know, just one step in front of the other. And I'm like, dude, like that's like, I think every ultra runner has murmured that underneath their breath at least 100 times. You know what I mean? Like, this is bullshit. I do not want to take another step, but here we go. You know, you just kind of go out.
Yep. 1,000%. 1,000%.
So that's where we're at with him. I'm still trying to keep an eye on him on, you know, just following the hash, but it's not as easy now that now that Jared won't be with him.
This is great here. Basically, this tweet says, a quote from Laz, I don't smoke on the uphills. Laz soon comes to a downhill, a smoke break follows, then on.
I was thinking about this earlier too. Like, there's another picture where it shows Laz just like burning a heater, right? And as a matter of fact, I actually might have tweeted this out too. Is it what cracks me up is I have not been around as accomplished runner as Laz smokes since in the late 90s when I was in the military. Like right. That's the last time. Like, I mean, we had guys in our platoon that chain smoked like what was the old school menthol? Newports. I had dudes in my platoon.
Menthol.
Oh yeah, man. I had dudes in my platoon that like smoked Newports like they were getting paid commission on Newports. Yeah, and they'd still turn around, lay down a 6-minute mile. You know what I mean? Like, but I have not been around a runner this good that smokes as much as him since then. Like, there's so much to love about it. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Super cool. So stay tuned for some further updates on LazCon. We're all rooting for him. All right. Quickly, I just want to talk about two videos that recently got released. One is on ESPN Plus, and this is Inside San Quentin's Marathon Club.
Awesome.
Yeah. For that day, they are runners, not criminals. And I'll link this article in the show notes on the YouTube channel and on the podcast. But it seems like a really cool documentary. I have it queued up to watch with Jessica, but they have a 1,000 mile club at San Quentin, and you know, it's been pretty successful, and the film goes into a lot more than just their running club, but it looks awesome. Like I guess after this film came out, there's a bunch of other prisons like already kind of looking into, you know, getting the run club started at the other prisons and stuff. So and I know you've had some experience in prisons and,
working in prisons. Yeah. I mean, I was a corrections officer for 8 years, at a state pen here in Ohio. And I mean, I think we had a loose structured run club. You know, and like, hey, listen, people are going to say what people are going to say. Oh, no, they shouldn't be having any fun. Oh, lock them up, throw away the key. Listen, that's all fun and games until you realize that that dude you locked up and threw away the key on gets out in 5 to 6 years, and he's just a bigger piece of shit and a madder dude than when he went in, right? Yeah. And, oh, by the way, he still has his addiction issues. And so, like, the running that they get to do, especially like this one, like the San Quentin one, and like other facilities that do it, it gives them an out. You know what I mean? And it, yeah, true enough, it's up to them whether or not they want to take the out and where they want to own it. But the running is a avenue to get away from the addictions that they have. You know, like, you know what? Instead of doing this addiction, I'm going to develop me a nice little running addiction, right? And like, let's be honest, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably fucking have a running addiction, you know what I mean? Like, let's yeah. be really honest. And yeah. so I really truly love the running programs that are in prisons. I think they're phenomenal. You know, yes, there's always going to be bad apples or manipulating it, but at the end of the day, I am all for them. We used to have inmates do miles upon miles. Cause like once that yard opens, man, they can be out there pretty much all day. I mean, you'll have to go in once or twice for count or for chow, but yeah, that yard opens, they can be out there all morning. They come in for the afternoon count. They go right back out until the evening count. So, yeah, pretty cool.
And you know, from the sounds of this article, it does dive into a lot about what the running means to them and, how it changes their outlook on everything. And,
again, just going down, like, man, so much of what's going on in prison is very, very, very tightly knit to one of two things, and probably both of them at the same time: addiction issues and mental health issues. And quite frankly, the addiction issues are probably mental health issues, and running gives a release for all of that. Like, I will forever, until I am 6 feet under, until I'm turned into a pine tree or whatever the F else like I get biodegraded into, I will forever support like running programs in prison, yeah, and using it as a rehabilitation tool. Yeah. I think it's phenomenal.
For sure. And, you know, I live in the Bay Area, and
run by.
And San Quentin, I couldn't even imagine being in San Quentin. And even if you could like remotely see the views of the Bay and everything, and you're just like locked up in this place, like, you know, I don't know, just it's cool. But I was gonna maybe just play this trailer really quick. What do you think about that?
Yeah, let's hit it. Let's see if we can hear it.
Can you hear that?
The concept of running a marathon in prison was like, hell no.
Listen up, everybody. You got the half marathon in 32 days, and then you got 6 weeks, the marathon. Now things start getting a little bit tougher.
Yeah, so this film won all kinds of awards.
Run under 3 hours. Maybe qualify for Boston.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Watch your lane, fellas. Watch your lane.
Even and some of they the have to run like 100 and some laps.
I had nothing on how I felt after that marathon.
105. Crazy. Yep.
Dying a loser. Wasting my life. These are my greatest fears. Inspired a passion to me to do whatever I can, even if I never go home, to be the best me I can be and have some kind of positive contribution to society.
She's like, marry me. I was like, Marion, I'm probably never coming home.
I can understand the laws, but I have the right to be mad at my dad. No one's gonna take that from me. I know he feels sorry, but tell me then, because I share my feelings. Why can't a grown man share his? To his son.
I just feel like I am my brother's keeper. If he needs help, I'm gonna try to help him.
2053 is my earliest possible release date.
21 and a half.
I'll be 86 years old. If I keep running, I'll be all right.
All right, everybody.
86
that's running,
is gonna be
86.
It's game time.
May the force be with you.
Okay, we're going in 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah. It's a community now. If you can't live in a community in here, you can't live in a community out there.
That's why just, that goes in line because with I'm what changed. You were saying, Johnny.
Yep, yep.
So.
It's going to be a long day.
Man, and I'll tell you what, that, like, that's even more psychologically challenging. You know, 105 laps weaving in and out of people.
Yeah. Because
at the end of the day, at the end of the day, there are absolute pricks on that yard that want the F with these dudes when they run by, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So like the level of mental toughness that it takes to do that is just sick. Like it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I've known about this film for a while. I'm glad it's out. I'm definitely excited to check it out. So the other film that came out is, and we've talked a lot about Running Up for Air on this show. There's the Running Up for Air film is out now. And I believe it's on YouTube. Yeah, it's on YouTube. So I highly recommend everybody go check this out, the Rufa Running Up for Air film. They're going to talk. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list of things to watch this week. They're going to talk about the Patagonia virtual event this summer that I'm hoping we can organize a group thing on Strava for the ultra running.
Oh, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing.
Yep. So that's out. Definitely. I recommend checking that out. let's see, we're about 43 minutes in. All right. We got a little bit of time yet. Okay, let's just look at this article real quick. It's called Troubleshooting on the Run. And I wanted to look at this article. This is written by Ian Torrance, pretty solid ultra runner. And I wanted to look at this article because I think that troubleshooting and problem solving are the keys, you know, along with salt, sugar, water.
Salt, sugar, water, baby. Salt, sugar, water.
Salt, sugar, water, and problem solving are the four keys. The Ultra Running News Network's four keys to ultra running success. So I'd just like to maybe just talk about these problems. One was the rebellious stomach, and knock on wood, I haven't had rebellious stomach in the form of like puking. I've had rebellious stomach in the form of, you know, no blood to digest food and my colon gets inflamed and I have a pain in my side, but I haven't had I had nausea once climbing out of the Grand Canyon, but other than that, I haven't really had nausea, but I know it's a big problem for people, especially in the heat. And, yeah, that can be a big one. Have you ever had nausea?
You know what was wild? It's not up until recent years. Like I ran a lot of races and I didn't get my first bout of like, ooh, I feel sour, like really sour. I remember running Dark Sky 50 Mile, which rest in peace to a great race there. That was a phenomenal race in Tennessee. Dark Sky 50. Love that race. If anyone from Nashville running companies hearing this, If anyone in Nashville is hearing this, they want to get it back up and resurrected, I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Dark Sky 50, phenomenal race. Yep. Now, it might have had something to do with Pete was dragging my sorry ass around at Mach 5 through the hills, and it was humid. But like, I remember that race getting a touch of it. But I never, ever got sick, like vomited, until my first attempt at Old Dominion. And I remember coming into, I mean, it was nighttime, so it was maybe 100K mark or deeper. It was north of 100K, but it was south of 75 because it wasn't that last check-in yet. And I remember coming into that 100K mark and just immediately knowing something wasn't right, ate something, drank something, tried to, you know, I mean, quite literally walked 10 feet out of the aid station, and I'm like, well, there goes all that nutrition. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
And what's weird is post that day, I feel like I'm a lot more sensitive to kind of getting like upset tummy, like getting sick. Like, no, it's like weird. Like, it was like, that was like the opening of a Pandora's box. Like the seals broke. And for whatever reason now, if it's a hot day, it seems like it's a hot thing for me. If it's really hot, really humid, I do have to really be careful of getting like nauseous. Yeah. But you have had the pleasure of running with me at Black Canyon. And I that's your thing. I need to handle business before runs, or I will need to handle business during runs for sure.
Well, so at Muck too.
Oh my God, yeah,
Muck. Up on Deer Park Fire Road.
Oh man, that cost us a sub 13-hour finish.
It did.
That thing lasted so long, it almost cost us a sub. A sub 12:45 finish. I was like, golly, my legs were numb.
I was standing on the side of the trail and like all these people are going by me. And I'm just like, what do they think? I'm just like standing there. And like,
Oh man. Yeah. It's like, those are my two things that generally I have to problem solve.
Yeah.
So I always have to have wet wipes and like something to control like a rumbling stomach.
Yeah, no, that does happen. Yeah, so they said you can usually blame nausea on hydration and electrolyte imbalances. High altitude can destroy what's usually a sound hydration and nutrition regime at sea level. I have had digestive issues at altitude from not drinking enough water. So it's important to hydrate early, hydrate often, and electrolytes are very important. You know, you can't just drink water. You gotta get the salt. You gotta get the electrolytes.
Hydrate or dihydrate.
Salt, sugar, water.
Sugar, water.
Dizziness and weakness was the next one. Nothing can be more frustrating than a weakening stride, or more frightening than inexplicably losing your sense of balance while on the trail. Again, drinking electrolytes. It can be at altitude. You get dehydrated a lot quicker. You know, and calories is the most it's understated. I mean, food and keeping calories in makes the biggest difference ever. You can go from feeling like the worst piece of shit ever to feeling like $1 million just by resting and getting some calories in. So, cramping, like knock on wood, I don't really have too many issues with cramping, but I mean, not to say that it couldn't happen. I don't want to jinx
it. Yeah, I know. But what's funny is like, I don't ever really find myself cramping either. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of weird. Like it is also kind of funny because I think this is just me from my delusional state of mind when I'm into runs. I feel like I generally jump from like pretty good spot to like catastrophic, like, what the fuck got going on, like, pretty quickly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what that says about me. I don't even know if that's true. Like, maybe other people from the outside can watch me slowly deteriorate. But I generally feel like for me, it's usually like from here to there, and it's like now. You know what I mean? So
yeah, there's just that one point in time where you go from feeling decent to like, oh man, I'm done. I'm toast.
Yeah.
Calories, man.
I love it.
All about calories. I do know people that have problems with cramping, and it does not look like fun.
No.
Illness before race day, getting sick before the race is another thing. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, you know, if you get sick, it's you just got to make a decision. Like, either you're going to run through it or not, you know.
I mean, what kind of sick are we talking about?
This one says, getting sick ahead of one's race is a common occurrence. We've spent countless hours of training and money on race entry and travel, only to become sick a week or two before our competition. Do we still go for it? Number one priority is to use the time you have before race day to recuperate. If you wind up on antibiotics, make sure you've completed the full course at least 1 week before the race day. You know, always have that luxury, to be honest.
Yeah.
If the bug you contracted affected your ability to eat and drink, understand you will start the race at a disadvantage. Your fuel stores will be depleted. So they don't really go too much into it other than that. But I don't know, man. Like, if I had the flu, if I had like a fever and shit, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run a race. But
You know what's funny is I think my dumb ass would probably still try. I feel like at some point, Mark Carroll's going to hear this, like, I never said that. And so, full disclosure, I may have made this quote up from, or not a quote, I may have made this up in my head from Mark Carroll. But I feel like Mark one time gave me this advice of, like, if it's a GI bug, like, run through it at your own caution, right? Like, you might poop yourself, but run through it at your own caution. Like, the one thing that I kind of feel like I remember Mark telling me that never ever, the one coldness, the one, like, illness that Mark said, don't ever try to run through it, is, like, chest. If it's your lungs, because like if you're really going to scar them by trying to, like, really stress them, you'll scar them. And so I feel like that. So with that being said, if it's like a head cold, if it's a gut cold, if this is like a race that I'm like, damn, I've always wanted to do this, or like something, I'm my dumb ass is probably going to still try to do it. I think I'm talking a good game right now. I've also been injured before. Like, I've also been, like, injured for like 6 months. So I'm probably talking a lot of really good game right now with some FOMO. So let me know what I'm like back when I'm healthy again.
I will say it would take a lot. It would take a lot for me to decide not to run a race. I mean, I would have to be like shaking from a fever or something. But one thing I do want to say about having the flu and running a race, my good friend, Lucas Hardbarger, and Lucas, if you're listening, big shout out. Lucas actually got me into ultra running, a college friend, and talking about like being sick a little bit ago puking on the course. Like, he does have that problem. Like, he gets nausea and pukes a lot. And we always used to say, it's funny how we used to watch each other puke in college for other reasons, you know, now we're watching each other puke. You know, he's like one of my oldest college friends. So, but and funny that we both, you know, got into running or whatever. But anyway, now we're watching each other puke in running, whatever. He was sick one time before the volunteer race at Forget the PR, like really sick. Like, he had the flu, and it was kind of warm out that day, I think. And he had a fever, and he wore like a sweatshirt, and like, he wore all these clothes because he was freezing. And he went out and he ran, and he literally sweated out He literally sweated out
the
flu. Like he cured himself.
they say sometimes you sweat it out. Sweat that flu out, baby. Oh, dude, that is a miserable way to do it.
Lucas is a great guy, man. Like anyway. So, okay. What's next? Leg soreness, yada yada. I'm not gonna go too much into that. Suck it up, Buttercup. Unexpected race day weather, nothing you can do about that. We've all run through crazy stuff, you know.
Whatever. Welcome to trail running and ultras.
Yep. It's going to be hot. It's going to be muddy. It's going to be raining. Yeah. It's going to be cold. It's going to be everything.
No one wants to hear about your boring ass race. That was perfect weather, perfect temperature, perfect conditions. No one wants to hear about that boring shit.
That doesn't make for a very good story.
Yeah. No one wants to hear about that.
But yeah. So getting lost.
Your fault.
I'm pretty much a freak about having the course, if they have the GPX file available, if I'm not familiar with the course, having it on my phone, because I do not want to get lost. And you have to realize that things happen. People will move flags. People will, you know, like assholes out there will just like mess with the race because they don't like it going on. Mm-hmm. You know, things are going to happen. And most races will say it is up to you to know the course, you know, from the description. So,
yep.
And it is super easy to run by a flag. I did it at Burning River. Lucas was pacing me, my first Burning River. And we were talking and we walked right by the flag and we were following another group that walked right by this flag too. And we all realized it a little bit later.
Back to my, I was just talking about my first time at Old Dominion. That's why I did at Old Dominion. Like hung a left when I should have hung a right. And
you zigged when you should have zagged.
You know what? You go back by and you look, you're like, well, son of a bitch. Yep, that was 100% on me because there's two pink flags heading that direction. Like, and my head was down. So.
Yeah.
Quit being soft. Get your eyes off the ground.
Come on, Goggins.
Who's going to carry the boats?
Yeah. And what he says is pretty important. Don't panic. Don't get angry. Don't take off in a sprint to get back, you know. You just have to assess the situation and not freak out. Easier said than done. But anyway, thought that was kind of fun. There's a couple other parts to this from articles from a long time ago that we may look at in future episodes. Okay. One last thing we want to talk about was Boston Marathon. And this is an ultra running YouTube show. This is ultra running news. Boston Marathon is pretty big in the way of running news. It went on Monday. They had good weather, all this stuff. But I've been seeing a lot. And actually, I've seen actually two different articles about people being carried across the finish line. And these articles, and I'm going to show this picture here. Okay. Now, I understand that this is people thinking that they're being very noble, helping someone out achieve their dreams of finishing the Boston Marathon. At the same time, like, if I'm this person that's down on the ground, do not pick me up. They're going to get disqualified. So I know they have a finishing time just because their bib went across the mat or whatever. They will get DQ'd. And there's somebody at Western States 100 that got DQ'd because he was leaning or falling over on the track, and people just helped him stay upright to get around the track. Or maybe it was a she. I can't remember. It was a he or she. They had assistance. They got DQ'd for assistance. Mm-hmm. Now, the year I was that Ronnie and I were, or the year that Chaz and I were out crewing Ronnie at Western States, Scotty Mills was, you know, he's known for having the lean.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was coming around the track, and everybody was aware that they could not help him. And at one point, he started leaning a little bit too much.
Drifting into folks.
It was obvious he was going to fall, and the crowd just split and let him go down. But you know what?
Yeah.
He got back up, and he finished the race. So, I understand. It's like, you know, people are posting this thinking this is the spirit of runners and stuff. Well, it's not. It's not.
I'll take it a step. Like, here's my other thing is, if I am her, like, if I'm that person getting her across the carried across the finish line, guess what I didn't do? Didn't run the marathon.
Right. That's right.
I evidently ran about 26 miles of a marathon, but I did not run a marathon. This will be the third effing time we've talked about this stupid ass race of mine. Old Dominion. Just for the folks who don't know, my dumb ass made a wrong turn at mile 92 or some crazy shit. That's when I made my wrong turn. And so, like, was I really, 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 really close to finishing Old Dominion? Oh, literally one more aid station away. Like, there's an aid station on Water Street, I think it is. There's, like, one literally, like last aid station on Water Street, and you go under the horse track, you walk, you run around. Like, I was that close. You're not going to sit here and see me like, oh, no, yeah, finished. No, and, like, I am sorry. That's the same boat she is in. They just let her sit there. And, like, that's the weird part for me about roadrunners. And, like, we all probably kind of sort of started as roadrunners and, like, quickly or slowly evolved into trail runners. But I think that's the weird thing for roadrunners. I think just, like for them, it's so much about time. The pace and my splits and my time. And, like, dude, if you would have just let her sit there for 5 minutes and get some what in her? Salt? Sugar?
Water.
She would have finished the effing race on her own. She would have finished the race. There's a weird level of, like, pissed offness I feel at this picture. You know what I mean? Like, it's super weird.
Yeah. I just almost feel bad for her. Like, I don't know. Like,
I
don't know, but maybe this is accepted in that community. Like, oh, it's cool.
No, that community's wrong.
Yeah. But anyways, in some happier news, we're gonna end the show with a more positive Boston Marathon story.
Mm-hmm. This is absolutely awesome.
Okay, I need to cue this up here. So, somebody set a record at Boston Marathon this year. It wasn't a course record, but
something.
It was the world's fastest fruit at Boston Marathon. A banana.
Dude, I there are so many things about this that really kind of, like, I can't imagine running a race. You know who would be the perfect person to talk about this?
Charlotte.
It's Charlotte. Like,
costume chick.
Charlotte has ran way further than a marathon in these costumes. But I think I talked about it when we first discovered, or when our universes of when Charlotte first collided. I am a bougie runner. I need the utmost in comfort when I run.
Oh,
I cannot imagine.
No,
running a marathon in like that banana suit, like, that thing looks hot as
No, thank you.
Never mind the time. Ladies and gentlemen, the time this man ran this in.
Yeah. So this is Matt Seidel, and he is actually a Bay Area runner. I know who he is. He runs with somebody that I know. And he's set, you know, FKTs in the Bay Area. He's an insanely fast runner, okay? In this banana suit, this guy runs 2 hour and 35 minute marathon.
2:35.
Matt Seidel from Oakland, California. That's the Guinness record for the fastest marathon in a fruit costume. Pending ratification.
I love it.
Yeah. He says it was his first Boston Marathon. He couldn't think of a better way to do it. The previous record for the fastest marathon dressed as fruit was held by Jordan Maddox, who ran the 2020 Rock and Roll Arizona Marathon in 2 hours and 41 minutes. In 2022, Maddox also earned the title for world's fastest marathon dressed as a vegetable when he ran 2 hours and 44 minutes as a carrot.
So weird. I love the fact that he's just going from like fruit, yeah. And like the other thing I did notice is there is a shape. There is a like the carrot, right? The banana. Like these are not like these are aerodynamic fruits. Like I thought it was like a little bit of like tactical choice going in into what fruit he's picking. So yeah. I love it.
Matt got 19th at Black Canyon. So he has a marathon personal best of 2 hours and 21 minutes. So 14 minutes faster than one running with fruit costume. All right. Awesome. I think that about does it for us today. Do you have anything else, Johnny?
I don't. Keep in mind, if you've made it this long through the episode, keep in mind, hit us up for the stickers, slide up in the DMs, let us know. As always, give us a like, give us a review, give us a follow, all that kind of fun stuff. We're having a blast with everybody that's interacting with us, so keep it up. We're having a really good time doing this.
Well said. I couldn't say it any better, so. All right. I will go ahead and take us out. Have a good time at Forget to PR. Expect a full report next week.
I got you.
Next week's show.
Cool. All right. I'll see you later.